In the same way, I wouldn't let you play with razor blades when you were a baby. And in the same way, I wouldn't let you have ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner when you were three. This is the new version of that. And we have to figure out a way to get through this.
Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Rogers, and this is Tell the Others. I wanted to create a place for meaningful conversation, life lessons, and parenting hacks. Sometimes I chat to interesting people, sometimes I answer questions about parenting or life stuff, and sometimes I just rant. These episodes are filled with stories and insights that made me say, ugh, I just have to tell the others. So let's dive in to hear what we can learn today.
My 13-year-old spicy child thinks she should be able to determine her bedtime, which would be anywhere up to 3 a.m. if I let her, on school nights. We initially agreed to be in bed with the phone off at 10:30, but she is pushing it to 12 a.m. unless we constantly manage her, which sets her off. What do I do? So, in summary, when do you enforce a phones off policy with the spicy child? So, this is such a great question and so common, but I want to, I guess, prepare you and all of you parents to understand that this is spicy or not, 13, 12 onwards. This is something you're going to be finding for now and forever while your kid is living in your house and under the age of 18, where you will be arguing with them about phone usage, especially late night usage. Why? First of all, the developmental purpose of the teenage years is to individuate. That's the technical term we use in psych babble land. Individuate means pulling away from my parent, becoming my own person, becoming an individual, figuring out who I am, what I am. Do I want to have the same religion as my parents? Do I want to dye my hair blue? Do I want to be, how do I want to be and show up in this world? What parts of myself do I want to identify with? What parts of myself do I not want to identify with? Where do I want to fit in the world? One of my favorite quotes is Albert Einstein. If a fish judges its ability on climbing a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. And I use the fish monkey analogy all the time in a million different contexts, but I want to bring it up, I guess, in this context, because that's often, I think, a big experience that a lot of teenagers have is whatever they are, let's say they're a fish, it will feel like the teenage years, they become a monkey. Like it'll feel like they just are a completely different person. Some people will say their kid is the same as always, but I think what they're trying to figure out, I guess, maybe that's a better way to put it in the teenage years, is what am I? Am I a fish or am I a monkey? And they're going to try different things. They're going to try swinging from trees. They're going to try swimming in the ocean. They're going to try making their scales and fins sparkle. They're going to try lots of different things. And one of the things that I think is really hard about the teenage years is the boundary pushing and the limit setting that we have to do, especially for spicy kids, because they are so notorious with pushing back and so inflexible with a lot of things. But absolutely, we still have boundaries. Absolutely, we still have limits. But as you guys know, it's different with a spicy kid because they just don't land. Boundaries and limits just don't land in the same way with a spicy kid that they land with a neurotypical kid who's obedient and compliant. So how I handle phone usage with, or tech screen usage with teenagers is I just always want us to be talking. I just always want to be able to have a phone line, open communication between the two of us where I can reach you and you can reach me. And I'm thinking of like old school landline phones, that sort of analogy where, so this is how it looks in my head. Our kids are walking through a forest, that is life. And up until the teenage years, we as their parent get to walk with them. Then when your kid's about 11, 12-ish age, the joke I always make is you get fired and you have then the opportunity to reapply for your job. However, this time your job is now called consultant. I hope that you get hired. That is my dream, that you will be hired as a consultant for this child for the years of 12, 11, whenever you got fired onwards, so that you can do the teenage years with them. That's how it feels to me of what the experience looks like. If you get hired as a consultant and they are letting you in, asking you questions, consulting with you on things, it doesn't look like how it looked for the last 12, 13 years, you're walking alongside them. You have a lot of agency. You have a lot of ability to know what's going on. And what it feels like to me is you then go to this different realm. So there's this path. I want you to visualize like a river or like a riverbed, you know, so your kid is down in that walking through the dense forest and you are then up on like a ridge, like a monorail, you know, and you are walking on the ridge and maybe you got one parent or, you know, one caregiver here and one on the other side. So you both are going to see different things because you're on different sort of platforms as you walk alongside your kid, but you have a bird's eye view and you're looking down and you're watching them go through the forest. And sometimes you can see them. Sometimes there's so many trees, you can't really see what's going on, but you periodically are able to check in with them and you just keep walking along. And then periodically there is a little orange like call box. And you might get there and it's already ringing and you answer it and it's your kid and they're asking you questions about whatever you are consulting on. Or you get to the phone box and you want to call them and go, hey, I'm noticing there's some smoke coming from your campfire. What's up? Why is your fire looking like that or whatever? Or that tent, it looks like you have a hole in your roof, whatever. My dream is one that you are allowed to call on those orange call boxes, that they appear, that your kid answers the phone when you call, and that they call you. I am hoping that it's reciprocal, that it goes both ways, that they need you sometimes for consulting and they are willing to take your calls. This is what a lot of parents say to me too, is what it feels like, because they're like, but I want to call and I see an orange phone box up ahead and I want to run and call. And I'm like, well, yeah, you can run up ahead and you can call, but they're still going to be back here. So they're not going to be where you are. So we have to pace ourselves and go at the pace that our kid is going. And sometimes you pick up the phone to ring and they don't answer it on the other end. And sometimes they call you, but you're not there yet and you didn't get there in time to answer the call. So in this scenario of a kid using their phone late at night, well into the night, it's a bit of a tricky situation because I don't know exactly what's going on down in the forest. I don't know exactly what's happening for her. I can only go by what she tells me. Well, how do I get her to tell me more of what's going on? I have to be connected to her. I have to have influence rather than management and, you know, ruling with an iron fist. I need to have a safe, connected relationship with her where she will feel safe to tell me what's going on and why she needs to have her phone so late at night. Ideally, she'll tell you. And one of the things that has come out so many times when I used to work with teenagers was what was going on for their friends was often the catalyst or the thing behind why they needed to have their phone late into the night, why they had to have it all the time, was some story to the effect of roughly like this. They'll say to me, when I saw teenagers, this is what they would say to me. You know, Susie, my best friend, is suicidal or self-harming or has stuff going on. And she calls me at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. And she says, you know, I'm going to die if you don't talk to me or answer my calls or whatever. I need your help. And so I feel like I am complicit in that. If I don't answer her calls or help her, I don't have a choice. I have to. I can't tell my parents because the kid has said to me, don't tell anyone. And I don't want them to get in trouble. And I don't know what my parents are going to do. But that's the real reason why I am needing to have access to my phone late into the night. And I share this story. This may not be what's happening for your daughter, but I share this story because it's a common one. I've heard it a lot of times from kids. And what the parents then said to me, because sometimes the teenager would give me permission to share this story with their parents and say something to the effect of, this is what's going on, but they didn't know how to broach that with you and they didn't want the kid to get in trouble or you to get mad or whatever. And the parents are often like, well, it's so nice to know that that's what's going on, because here I thought my kid was just being really disrespectful and not listening to the rule and honoring what we agreed on. But now that you explain that, like, it makes total sense. I can see why they're having such a hard time navigating this and why it would be so hard to turn off their phone and not be on it anymore past, you know, 10 or whatever. But also that kid needs help, that kid needs support. And my teenager shouldn't be playing therapist for this other kid. That's a lot of pressure on them. So my point is, there's something going on for your daughter or her friends or something that is making her feel that compulsion that she needs to be there be available, FOMO, I don't know what it is, but there's something else that's going on. I want to find out what that is. I can't find out what that is if we're disconnected. I can't advise her on what to do with that if we're not connected. So that's why always I preach connection, 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 but massively I preach it in the teenage years, because this is when the stakes are a lot higher. This is when they're making lots of mistakes. And I want to be a consultant in that leadership team who is advising on things to do and not to do. And the only way I will still have access as a consultant is if we're connected. So instead of going the hard yards of like, this is the time and whatever, I just keep going back to, how would you handle this if this was a partner? How would you handle this if this was a roommate? Because it's the same kind of thing. Stick with me for a second. If you had a partner or a roommate and we agreed that we were going to have dinner together at 7 o'clock every night, and Monday is my night and I'm going to make dinner. So I come home, I buy the things, I make it. And then 7 o'clock, where are you? 8 o'clock, you've not called. I canceled my, do you see what I mean? Like, we had an agreement and we said we were going to do the thing, and then you didn't sort of hold up your end of the bargain. If you walked in as my roommate, it's probably not going to work if I just start blasting you. Why are you in late? We said we were going to have dinner. What would be, I think, more productive is if I said, hey, are you okay? Because I know you respect me. I know that we had said we were going to do dinner at 7. So I know for you to not like let me know what was happening or that you weren't going to show, something must have come up or you totally forgot. But yeah, I just want to know if you're okay and like what happened. And then you might say, oh, I got stuck at work, or I totally forgot, or I got a flat tire, whatever. But do you see how by me starting the conversation with the most generous interpretation, not attacking you, not telling myself a story of you always do this, whoa, 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 by not doing any of that, I then create the space for you to be open and honest and tell me what's going on, because you know I'm not going to punish you. You know I'm not going to shame you. You know that me asking is more of a way to bring connection rather than disconnection. Do you get it? Does that make sense? So in these repeated sort of ruptures where we made an agreement and then it ruptures because the kid doesn't honor the agreement of the curfew being 10:30, I'm now curious, why is that happening? And what's going on? Because obviously something is going on. You know, it's like, are you binge watching a show on Netflix? Are you addicted to YouTube? Like, or is it that you're texting your friends? And usually it's messaging friends. I could be wrong, but usually that's the big draw. So I just want to know what's going on, and tell me, because maybe if you tell me, it'll help me understand and it will help me figure out a way that we can compromise and we can find out a solution for this. So that's my first thing, is connection. And I want to know what's happening for my kid so that I can just have, you know, what's happening on the ground, right? Because remember, I'm just way up here on my little rail along the forest. I don't really know what's happening on the ground. So you tell me what's happening on the ground. That's the first thing. Then if we're connected and they're saying whatever the reason is of why they need to stay up later, I will honor and respect that and say, I hear you. That makes total sense. I can see why you want to have your phone till midnight, or you want to have it till 3 a.m. And whatever the reason is, I'm not saying I agree with you. I'm saying your feelings make sense. And I can see how your logic at 13 years old checks out at 13 years old. And remember, spicy kids, spicy brains are usually developmentally 3 to 5 years behind their peers in terms of their executive function. So if we go 13 minus 5, we're looking at 8 years old in her executive function maturity levels. Okay. And when you look at it like that, you then go, ah, okay. So an 8 year old would likely say chocolate cake for breakfast is cool, and spending $700 on Pokemon cards is totally reasonable. I don't need to shame them or criticize them for the way that they think or their ideas, but I can do boundaries and limits around what works and what doesn't work. And I think with screens and tech and phones, it is a constant conversation. It changes every day. It's something we discuss every week. It is not a set and forget one conversation and then we're done. In our home, we have periods where, depending on what's happening in our lives and work and whatever, we have periods where there's lots of screen time. And then minimal screen time. So I think it's just, it ebbs and flows. And then sometimes it feels like they're on it so much, we got to rein it in, whatever. I think with boundaries and limits on screens, that you are allowed to say, this isn't working, the 12, 3 a.m. thing. I am happy to be the bad guy. And you can say to all of your friends, my mom is such a jerk. She's so annoying. She's making me turn my phone off now at 11, 10, whatever. And they can insert the eye rolling emoji, whatever. I'm sorry I have to go, but my mom's taking my phone. And a lot of times I find with teenagers is they want that and they don't want that. They maybe don't admit it, but they'll say, thank you for me like having an out and you being the bad guy. I didn't know how else to say that to my friend who keeps messaging, but I'm always like, throw me under the bus any day. Happy to take one for the team. But saying to them that I still need to put some rules in here. I still need to put some sort of safety precautions and stuff in the phone tech usage, because part of my job as your parent is to keep you safe. And I know that one of the things that I need to protect and keep safe is your sleep. And I know that getting that many hours sleep, whatever, 3 a.m. until they have to get up for school, isn't enough sleep for your brain. And we have to figure out a different way. You're a smart kid. I know you're a good kid. And I know you want to get along with me. I want to get along with you. You want to do well at school. You want to have friends. We're all on the same page. But obviously, this isn't working because we said 10:30 and then it's 12. And I'm all about compromise. So let's talk about it and talk about what you're thinking and see what happens. So my answer is maybe a little bit annoying in that there's no silver bullet for this one, but it's a conversation and it's a frequent one. And we're constantly just checking in, because I guess what I'm trying to teach them too is I'm trying to teach them self-regulation when it comes to sleep. I'm trying to teach them regulation when it comes to my attention, the content I'm consuming. I'm trying to teach them how to be aware, monitor, manage, navigate, and police themselves and babysit themselves, because I'm not going to always be around. And like, what, when they're 18, am I going to be saying to them, you know, when they're 20, am I going to be saying to them, turn off your phone, you should go to bed? Like when they're living in a dorm or they're living, you know, in an apartment, like that's not going to happen. I want to be teaching them to navigate that themselves. And I can't do that if we're disconnected and I'm punishing them or, you know, taking their phone away. So I think your initial agreement of saying the phone off at 10:30 is fair. And I would just, I mean, that's generous, I would say. And, you know, I've had lots of parents over the years that say things like, oh, my kid says that all of their friends are allowed their phones overnight and they're allowed to be on their phones till 6 a.m. And to that, I respond, cool. I am happy for them. How it works in our family is we got to do the stuff that protects your sleep and protects your brain. So, and currently what we're doing isn't working, right? And they might go, yeah, but it's working for me. It's not working for you. And I would laugh. I think I would laugh and keep it somewhat playful, because if we get stern and serious, they're just going to shut down and disconnect. So I would smile and go, yes, yes, it is working for you in the short term, but it's not going to work for you in the long term, because of how this is going to impact your brain. And I know you don't want to hear it. And I know you're not subscribing to all this brain stuff. I know. You can call me your crazy mom, but this is part of my gig, is I got to keep you safe. And I know that you missing out on sleep isn't going to do it. And you can hate me and you can be mad at me, but there's got to be some boundaries around phones, you know? And I think 10:30 or whatever the compromise is fair, but talk to me, tell me what's going on so I can help you navigate this and then see what happens.
If you're a parent or a professional who works with children and you'd love some strategies that actually work with strong-willed and neurodivergent kids, Prism Perspective could be exactly what you need. Go to prismparents.com and discover a community where strong-willed children are understood and you finally get the support you've wanted. All right, friends. Thank you, as always, for tuning in today. Our time is our most precious asset, so I truly appreciate you sharing your time with me. I'll see you right back here for the next episode of Tell the Others.